When we get into chapter 24, chapter 24 broke my heart. I read chapter 24 and I cried like a baby, and I've cried multiple times since. And you'll know why when we get there. But chapter 23, nonetheless, in verse 22, it begins four oracles, four statements that God is going to make through the prophet. The prophet Ezekiel is speaking on behalf of God. These are the oracles of God. It's not Ezekiel's words. It's God's words through the prophet. And he says, thereover, Oholibah. Who's Oholibah? Jerusalem, Judea, Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom is gone, the southern kingdom. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stir up your lovers against you, for whom you have alienated yourself. I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Pekah, Soa, Koa, all of the Assyrians with them, all of them desire. Where are we?
23, 24. I'm asking my daughter, she knows more than I do.
Chapter 23, I was reading beginning of verse 21. Everybody there? 22, excuse me. Hey, go back to 21 for a minute. Chapter 23, verse 21. Thus you called to remembrance the lewdness of your youth when the Egyptians pressed your bosom because of your youthful breasts. Now, where did they learn all of this promiscuity? Because from the promiscuous society that Egypt was. Egyptian women were known for their promiscuity. They were totally unfaithful. It was the story of Potiphar's wife. This was an unusual story. That's the way they acted. And Israel took on the attitudes of these immoral women. And then they longed for them. They longed for having relationships with them. Now, who put them in servitude and in bondage? No. They went into Egypt, Jacob's family. Pharaoh did. Because there was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And then the people of Israel were put into severe bondage. These are the very, very people that were enslaving them. And now God freed them and delivered them, right? Out of the bondage of Egypt, out of the hands of the taskmasters there. And now they want to go back. What was happening previously is they were recognized that Babylon was taking control of the known world. About 600 BC or so, Egypt decided to make a move against Babylon. Babylon kicked their, and they retreated. Israel foolishly thought they could make an alliance with Babylon, with Egypt. They're seducing Egypt into a relationship once again. Why is it you're desiring the very people that enslaved you? Now, when we interpret the text, we know what it says contextually, but what enslaves you that you so love? Your sin. Samson? What was it that he loved that turned on him? Enslaved him? What was it? Delilah. Saul? His pride? Why should I kill all the Amalekites? I'll take the best of their stuff. I'll bring the king back as a trophy. It turned on him, didn't it? And when he was dying on Mount Gilboa, who killed him? An Amalekite. He was dying. He was mortally wounded. And this man comes by and he says, and who are you? I'm an Amalekite. I'm your sins. Oh, come back to destroy you. Listen, make no mistake about it. Your sin, it may be pleasurable for the season. Maybe you're a lover at the moment. But it will betray you. It will turn on you and it will destroy you. That's its intent. This is what he's talking about here. How could you go back and seduce, desiring your lovers of Egypt, the very people who will destroy you? How foolish. And what are we doing today? Nothing's changed, has it? Nothing has changed. All of this, the 60s. What was the 60s all about? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Just chill out and flip out, right? And then what happened with our casual use of drugs? What's it done to us?
Mental disorders,
psychotics, murders, violence, death on every major city that's controlled by the Democratic government. It's a death zone. Philadelphia, Los Angeles, San Francisco. People dying on the streets daily. But the crime that is so explosive, Oh, we thought it was just getting high, loving one another, you know? Get into that Saladak mode. And look at how it's turned on us. You're lovers. Now it's destroying us. Isn't that true? Yeah. You see the woman who wrote the book on grief? Her husband died one night in bed while he was sleeping. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Come to... This takes chutzpah. You know chutzpah? Right? Chutzpah means you got a lot of nerve. She writes a book on her grief over the loss of her husband, who supposedly died suddenly in his sleep. She poisoned him. She gave him 5 times the lethal dose of fentanyl. And then she writes a book about her grief. Sorry, it wasn't 10 times. Is that not amazing to you? Insane. Behold, I will stir up your lovers. You will go after the Egyptians. I'll stir up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Pina, Kodak. All of those areas were all within Mesopotamia. They were all controlled by the Babylonian Empire. So this confederation, this military confederation, headed up by the Babylonians, will come in, swoop down, and destroy Israel, Jerusalem, Judah. And that's what it's intended to do because of their spiritual adultery, because they're betraying the Lord. All of them desirable men. You want the Egyptians? I'll give you desirable men. Warriors, come down. Governors, rulers, captains, men of renown, all of them riding on horses, and they shall come against you, chariots, wagons, and war horses, with a horde of people. They shall array against you, buckler, shield, helmet, and all around. I will delegate judgment in them, and they shall judge you according to their judgments. I will set up my jealousy against you, and they shall deal furiously with you. I can't even imagine what it would be like. I don't know. I've been married to 2 very faithful women who I trust completely. And I can't even imagine the heartache that occurs for a man or a woman whose spouse has betrayed them, who's committed adultery. I know the pain of a loss, but we haven't lost anything, have we? We know where they are. When you lose something, you don't know where it is. Yeah, but we do. We know where they are. So it's not a loss. Just temporarily not here. But if I don't know, I was jealous for my wife, the way the Lord is jealous for us. The Lord is very upset when anybody tries to seduce us away from the truth. Very angry about it. There's a strict judgment for that. And how I would be so upset if any man tried to seduce my wife away from me. And God is allowing these Assyrians, the Mesopotamians, to bring about a judgment upon these Israel. And he's using the women of Israel as an example. And what are they doing to their captives? What's the rest of the verse say? They shall remove your nose and your ears, and your remnant shall fall by the sword. The men they're going to slaughter, but because, listen, in Mesopotamia, if you committed adultery and you were caught committing adultery as a woman, they would cut off your nose and cut off your ears so you would never be desirable to a man again. They would mutilate your face, disfigure you, so that no one would even want to look at you. You'd be hard to look at if a woman committed adultery. And this is what God is saying. He's so furious. He's so mad at them. If he's mad at them for what they have done, do you think he's a little upset with us? This religious pluralism of our day, where the majority of those in Christendom don't even believe in absolutes, the majority don't believe that the scriptures are the authoritative, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. The majority. Most men and women, unfortunately, behind the pulpit no longer believe this is what it is to be. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative. That's where we are. I think he's a little upset. And I think what's coming is far worse than anything that Israel has ever experienced. I've read the book of the Revelation. Have you? It's far worse than what's being described here. Some of the judgment, it's not just the cutting off of their ears or their nose. Zechariah says when the judgment of God comes upon them, their eyeballs will melt in their eye sockets, their tongues will melt in their mouth, and the flesh will melt off their bones before their bones hit the floor. I've seen that. Have you? You ever see that? Just watch Indiana Jones. They portray that in the film. And it was God's judgment against these Nazis. It's exactly what happened. They must have read the Bible. Amazing. Whew. We want our adoring and our beauty to be inward, right? Not just outward. But we want our hearts to be what they should be for God. Not my head, my heart. They shall take your sons and your daughters, and your remnant shall be devoured by fire. They shall also strip you of your clothes and take away your beautiful jewelry. Thus I will make you cease your lewdness and your harlotry brought from the land of Egypt, so that you will not lift your eyes to them to remember the Egypt anymore. We talked about an adulterous heart last time. And what God is doing is he's judging them for their adulterous heart. And he's bringing them to a place where they're going to be so uncomfortable, so distressed, so in panic, so in fear, the last thing they're going to think about is their sin, about committing adultery. Now, if you know someone with an adulterous heart, you need to pray for them. There's only one person who can deal with an adulterous heart. There's only one person who can change an adulterous heart. Oh, they may change their behaviors for a little while. You know, the flesh can do that, but you won't change the heart's desire. Only God can do that. And so when you know somebody, or if that's you, then you need to pray and ask God, God, change me, change my heart. Continue to change me from the core of my being. There's a lot of people playing games with God today. Think they can do anything they want, just confess it, repent, and go do it again tomorrow. You know, as a Catholic boy, I grew up in that system. I mean, if it was true, you can't find a better deal in town. I could do my dirty Monday through Friday, Saturday go to confession, Sunday go to Mass, in, safe, right? And as a Catholic boy, that's what I believed. I could sin all I want. All I had to do is bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Well, it's you again, Mr. Varielli. Is that not true? Well, evangelicalism has taken on that same attitude, the presumptuousness of most evangelicals today who believe they can live any way they want and I'll just confess it? No. Confession, what is that Greek word? What does it mean? I'm a legale. To turn and agree with God. Agree with God that it's wrong. Agree with God that I'll never do it again. Lord, strengthen me. I hate it. Right? To repent, to turn. It's not continuing to do it over and over and over and over because it becomes a habitual lifestyle. And it's very clear in Paul's writing what happens to people who have a habitual lifestyle of sin that they choose not to break, that they don't want to break. Where are they going? They're evil. When you do that, when you presume upon God's wonderful grace, it's evil. That's a frightening word, isn't it? Evil, right? Take the E out, what do you got? Vile. Take the V out, what do you got? Ill. Very ill. Take the I out, what do you got? Where you're going? L. Right? It's true. It's true, right? It's evil to think you can presume upon God and his grace. You know? I always knew when my son was playing me. You know, I wasn't born yesterday, son. I was born in a day. It just wasn't yesterday, and I know what you're up to. Knock it off. This ain't going nowhere with me. Well, why do you think it works with God? If we as human beings, as earthly father, sinful father, weak, don't you think he knows? No more of that. Okay. Verse 28 now, the next oracle of God. For thus says the Lord God, surely I will deliver you into the hand of those who hate you. Wonderful. Into the hand of those whom you alienated yourself. Do you understand that's happening very soon? And we can listen, I don't know about you. If you are you geopolitical? Do you watch what's going on in the world? very soon we're going to be turned over into the hand of our enemies. I mean, you know, we're a bank ready to collapse. You talk about these bank failures? Consider the nation as just one big bank, okay? And all this monopoly money that we've been printing and distributing, it's all going to collapse. You understand that, don't you? You know, Russia's now one of the largest possessors, holders of gold in the world. They've been buying gold like crazy. We, like idiots, we came off the gold standard. When did we do that? When? 72. And what happened the next year? Abortion. Isn't that crazy? Huh? They will deal hatefully with you, take away all of you have worked for, and leave you naked and bare, and the nakedness of your harlotry shall be uncovered, both your lewdness and your harlotry. God's going to lay it all out bare for the world to see, and he's going to judge the world at the same time. Now, don't forget, God did judge the Babylonians after this, didn't he? He just used the Babylonians as his rod of, or his instrument, his rod of judgment against Judah and Jerusalem, but they got theirs too. So I wouldn't be surprised if suddenly we suffer a military defeat by the Russians and the Chinese. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But it wouldn't surprise me at all. I know God's going to judge the Russians and the Chinese too. But where does judgment begin? In the house of God, and those who claim to be God's, those who claim to be his. You expect a heathen to act like a heathen, especially when they admit they're a heathen. But you want a person who says they're church to be the church, right? But that's so rare today too, isn't it? I'm sorry, it's just the text, okay? I have to share the text with you. You know? I will do these things to you because you have gone as a harlot after Gentiles, because you have become defiled by their idols. You have walked in the way of your sister, Samaria, the northern kingdom. Therefore, I will put her cup in your hand, the same judgment with which I judged her, and you saw it. What happened to this? What happened to the Israel when the Samaritans captured them? Huh? They were hauled off. Three meals a day? Colored TVs? No? How were they hauled off? Hooks in their jaw. They were, the Assyrians, most people, you died. Shortly after captivity, you would die in that death march. You talk about the death march of Bataan by the Japanese. The Assyrians had them beat. They put a big hook in your jaw. And sometimes they gouge out your eyes. Sometimes they fillet you. They take all the skin off your body. Can you imagine what that would be like? Walking in the sun in the heat of the day. It was torturous. Sometimes they just cut your stomach open enough to allow your intestines to fall out as you're walking. You know, they just try to get creative in the ways in which they could be brutal towards you. That's what happened to Samaria. And God is saying, you're going to drink the same cup. And oh, by the way, the cup has become larger and deeper. And you're going to drink it all. Remind you of anything? Have you read the Revelation? I'm sorry? The cup, the world. The world, my dear. The cup of God's wrath will be drank in full measure to the dregs. You'll drink it to the bottom. That's what God is saying. I'm going to force my judgment upon you. God is a glove. Listen, make no mistake about it. We're in the age of grace. We're in the age of grace. And I'm so glad for that. Aren't you? But the age of grace will one day, the age of grace will one day end at the end of the church age of the times of the Gentiles. And then God's judgment is coming upon the Gentile nations of the world. All right, there we go. Now we reloaded the gun. Yay, Darren. What's the last thing I said?
We were going to sing every cup that's
I just want to see if he remembered. The cup of God's wrath. Drank in full measure. You have no idea. People talk about, oh, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. You have no idea the wrath of God that's coming. It was localized then. The next time it's global. It's the entire world. Amazing. And what are we learning today? Look at the devotion. Look at the people that are surrendering their life to God. Look at the people that are living lives of devotion. Look at how righteousness and holiness is just spread throughout the whole land. Look at this love and safety that we live in today. I'm being facetious. Yeah. Well, then come with me. Follow me as I follow him. But it's true, isn't it? Beloved, it's true. And you know, I appreciate David's song set this evening because I believe with all my heart, with every cell within my body, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. Very, very soon. And one of the reasons I believe that, and what's indicative to me, is the fact that so many who are really sincere Christians are sincere. They want their life to change. They want to be right with God. I don't want to be this person that I am. I want to be somebody else. You know, and I pray that all the time. I don't like who I am. I want to be who he is. I want to reach that point. What's that point? A vanishing point. Where it's no longer me, it's just him. You have walked in the way, verse 31, of your sister. Therefore, I will put her cup in your hand. For thus says the Lord God, the third oracle. You shall drink of your sister's cup, the deep and wide one. You shall be laughed to scorn, held in derision. It contains much. Are we laughed today? Are we held in scorn and derision by the nations of the world? They think we're absolutely out of our minds, and we are. We got this idiot for a president. He's nothing but a corrupt fool. And everybody knows all you have to do is grease his pockets. You get whatever you want until they turn on you. Oh, they're going to turn on us. They're already doing that, aren't they? French, the Saudis, how many nations now? Cozying up to Russia. Isn't that amazing? The cup of your sister Samaria, verse 34, you shall drink it and drain it. You shall break its shards and tear at your breasts. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. There's going to be such distress and such destruction, such suffering, that they drink the cup, they break the cup, they take the shards and they rip their body with it. You know what the Bible says about, there's a period of time for 5 months during this horrific judgment that's coming globally, there'll be a period of time for 5 months that something will take a vacation, a holiday. Death. Life and death is in God's hands, not ours. God determines life, God determines death, right? And so the book of the Revelation tells me that God is going to allow things to be so horrible, so horrifying, so destructive, so distressing, men will and women will want to die, they'll try to attempt suicide, and God won't let their spirit leave the body. They will remain in that suffering. You want to see what that looks like? Look at some of the YouTube videos of these drug areas, like in Philadelphia and San Francisco. These zombies, these walking dead. It's just unbelievable that we would be a people who would just allow that to take place, allow that to happen, and think we're being merciful, giving more of that poison to them so they can destroy their lives. But God is going to purpose that it'll be the suffering will be to such an extent that men and women in mass will try to take themselves out of here, but can't. Whew, that's pretty frightening, isn't it? There are things worse than death, aren't there? Yeah. Therefore, in the last oracle here in chapter 23, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. Now, they're committing all their acts of abomination, of sin. I was talking to the fellow Saturday morning, right? And we're talking about trans. Is there anything new under the sun? Does God not know everything that's coming down the... Go to meet with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22 for a minute and read verse 5. I I said, chapter 22 of Deuteronomy. These miscellaneous laws of relationships one to another, miscellaneous laws regarding your attitudes and about sex and men and women and gender specifically. Look at verse 5, chapter 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are. And what does that mean? Detestable. God will vomit you out of his mouth. They weren't doing that then. Who's he talking to? Usins. It's crazy, isn't it? All of this gender dysphoria, it's all an abomination in the eyes of God. God's into trans, isn't he? Transformation, yeah. Verse 37, for they have committed adultery, spiritual adultery, turning their back on God, and then it led to their defiling. My relationship to my wife, Gail, cannot be any stronger than my relationship to God. Do you understand? As my relationship to God is, so goes my relationship to my wife. If I begin to allow my relationship with God to be taken for granted and allow any weakness in that relationship, it's going to affect this relationship. Is that not true? And so that's what's happened with Israel. They were neglecting their relationship with the one true God. They were going to church. Oh, they were going to the temple after they committed all their sins and all their abominations. Then they go to the temple like they're good guys. What hypocrites. Joan sent me a text the other day, and it shows a preacher who tells them what they want to hear. And this stadium was packed. It must have been Joel Osteen's church. Was it? Yeah, it was packed. Thousands of people. And then the next picture was a preacher who tells them what they need to hear. It's like a dozen people. Yeah, that's where we are today, beloved. This is the age of apostasy for sure. But look at this. Adultery, spiritual adultery, led to physical adultery, betrayal in marriage. And blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols, Baal, Ashtoreth, Nemosh, Molech, and even sacrificed their sons, whom they bore to me, passing them through the fire to devour them. Wow. Now, no sooner have they worshipped Molech on the evening that they were in their drug-induced states and sacrificing their children into the fire of the Molech, the very next day, with their blood still on their hands, they go to the temple to worship God. You ever watch the movie The Godfather? If they weren't killing people, they were in church. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. And I grew up under that delusion, that nonsense, you know. But here, this is what Israel... Listen, God is going to judge this nation. Are we not spiritual adulterers in this nation? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the nation, the culture. Do we not have blood on our hands? How many millions now since 1973? God only knows the real number. Verse 38, moreover, they have done this to me. They have defiled my sanctuary on the same day and profaned my Sabbaths. For after they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came to my sanctuary to profane it. And indeed, thus they have done in the midst of my house. No fear of God. And the worst thing that we've done is that we have such disregard for children. You know. The most precious gift that God gives us are our children. And if we don't kill them in that place that was designed for their safety for the first 9 months of their life, that was meant to be the most nurturing and safe place for a child for 9 months, the mother's womb. And over 50% are killed there. Some ridiculous number. Darren will correct me if I'm wrong. But then those who are birthed, what are they birthed into? Terrible situations. We see the suicide that takes place of our young because they're so confused about their identity, but so confused about the meaning of life and purposes of life. Then they get hooked on drugs or this sexual immorality. And then these ridiculous ideologies that they embrace that are so demonic. It's demons devouring our children. We talked about that, remember? Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, demonic times will come. The word kleipos is demonic force. In the last days, demonic forces will come. And I talked to you about what that word meant. And then they said they would be brutal. They would be like evil beasts of the field who would devour you alive. Reading a story about that 13-year-old girl saved herself from that shark that was eating her. Whew, I can't even imagine being fish food. Can you imagine? Or some grizzly bear chomping down on you, ripping you apart, and you're conscious of all of that? I can't even imagine somebody being devoured by a wild beast. Can you? And being conscious of it? Listen, that's what Paul was saying, that these wild beasts, these demonic beasts, and it's demonic forces working through people, devouring our children while they're alive. That's what's happening. You understand that, don't you? You gotta pray for this generation. You young people probably know far better than I do. You're out there, you see it. God help us all. Furthermore, verse 40, you sent for men to come from afar to whom a messenger has sent. And there they came, and you washed yourself for them. You painted your eyes, and you adorned yourself with ornaments. You put on all of the most seductive clothing you could, and you painted your face, and you let it be known that you were available. I think of a lot of our politicians who've put a for sale sign on the United States. Open for business. The highest bidder. That's what Joe Biden's done. The man is a criminal. He should be in jail. But he's representative. Don't ever forget that. He is representative of, not you, but most of our society. They do the same thing, have the opportunity. The corruption. Verse 41, you sat on a stately couch with a table prepared before it, on which you had set incense and my oil. Oh, party, party, party. And then you seduced all these men to come in to party with you. The base man, look what it says. The sound of your carefree multitude was with her. The Sabaeans who brought... Anybody have a definition in your study Bible on the Sabaeans? What is it? Somebody said it. Who said it? Drunkards. Party revelers. Drugs, alcohol, drunkards. Going to party. That's all. That's what they wanted to mix themselves with. It's just one big party. Can you think of an Old Testament historical account where it was just one big party and then suddenly that very same night, yeah, Belteshazzar, the grandson of the king, having his party and then taking the sacred goblets that were taken from Jerusalem out of the temple and then drinking out of them with all of his prostitutes and these revelers and these Sabaeans as they're getting drunk. And then suddenly a hand comes from nowhere and writes in blood on the wall. Your days are numbered. Time is up. You do understand that, you know, that, I mean, if you read your Bible and you look at what's happening geopolitically, the handwriting's on the wall. The judgment is absolutely inevitable. It's coming. You understand that? It's already begun, the judgment on the society. But it is escapable, isn't it? There's one way of escape, isn't there? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That beautiful gate? Yeah. Talked about it on Sunday. Party hardy, a life of ease. Verse 43, then I said concerning her who had grown old in her adulteries, will they commit harlotry with you now, with her now, and she with them? Yet they went into her as men go into a woman who plays the harlot. Thus they went into Aholah and Aholibah, the lewd women. They did, but then they used them. They cast them out. Like, remember the priest, prophet's concubine. The men of that evil men, those Sabaeans, had their way with her. And then they left her at the doorstep the following morning dead after they ravaged her. That's what God is saying these are going to do to Israel. But righteous men will judge them after the manner of adulteresses and after the manner of women who shed blood because they are adulteresses and blood is on their hands. Who are these righteous men? Who's these righteous men that God will send to judge them? Okay, one of them is speaking. Who is it? Ezekiel, the righteous man of the prophets. How many of the prophets did he not send to warn them? Anybody ever listened to the ministry of David Wilkerson when he was alive? He's a prophet. I think he wouldn't claim to be a prophet, but I think he spoke prophetically. Yes. Who's listening? There are a few who are speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit prophetically. I don't say they have the gift of office, I believe it's ceased. But the Spirit does speak. But who's listening? Who are they listening to? They're listening to all these hucksters that are out there. Prosperity gospel. The health and wealth. That seeker-sensitive gospel says you can live any way you want and still be saved because Jesus is love. None of that is true. So many people being deceived, but righteous men will judge them. Verse 46, for thus says the Lord God, bring up an assembly against them, give them trouble and plunder, give them mob violence, give them lawlessness in the streets, burn down their businesses and their houses. Listen, you got to just let them vent, you know? You got to give them the opportunity to just rage, you know? It's peaceful. You know what they said about all those protests? All that lawlessness, all that mob violence, destroying their own communities. And now they can't even rebuild. Look at the mass exodus. And now Jacksonville, Florida. What in the Sheol are you thinking? What'd they do? Just elected a Democrat liberal female for mayor. Why? All these people from those blue states, when they ruined their cities, are now coming down to Florida. Florida produced a big travel map in the tourist department. Did you see that? And it says, come to Florida. And the map shows the map of the United States, and it's pointing to Georgia. Well, the libs are having a field day, you know, because, you know, DeSantis has made claims that he's decimated the Democratic Party in Florida. And to some degree, he has statewide. But then they were just rejoicing over this liberal female getting elected mayor in Jacksonville. You know, but listen to me, it's the effect of the migration of all these people from blue states bringing not just themselves, but their ideology, idiots, right? If you do the same thing the same way and expect a different result, what do we call that? Insanity. Yes, for thus says the Lord God, I'll bring an assembly against them, give them up to trouble, to plunder, an assembly that will stone them with stones, execute them with swords, and they shall slay their sons and their daughters, burn their houses with fire. Thus I will cause lewdness to cease from the land, and all the women may be taught not to practice your lewdness. They shall repay you for your lewdness, and you shall pay for your idolatrous sins. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. The rest of the world thinks we are absolutely out of our mind embracing this demonic transgender craziness. Look what we've done to women's sports. Why would any woman athlete want to compete anymore? Because you're competing against men. How many women historically have played in the NFL?
Zero.
NBA?
Zero.
They can't, you know. God made us equal, but different, right? Equal before him, but we have different roles and responsibilities, and he created us to fulfill those roles and responsibilities. I was listening to a professor of anthropology. He was speaking to one of these conservative young students who was coming against this transgender craziness. He said, there's only two genders, male, female, that's it. And this professor of anthropology, he asked him the question, if I dug up a skeleton, would you be able to tell from the skeleton whether it was a man or a woman? You know what the professor said? No. Hey, no, no, let me be more specific. If you look at the pelvis bones, if you look at this skeleton, would you be able to tell whether it's a man or a woman? Would you be able to?
Yes.
Why? They're bigger. You got to get a head through there, okay? Ain't no head going to fit through this one. Uh-uh, right? But a woman's, you know, I can't even imagine just a little stone going through there, you know? But it's true, isn't it? But how preposterous that this man of science, this highly educated professor, would say, no, you can't.
They don't even have the same number of ribs.
Are you ribbing me? And why the rib? Why? Why the rib? Stand up. Why the rib?
Because
she fits perfectly right there. Right there. Not my foot, not to be under my feet, right? Not to be over my head with my hand. No, but right on my side, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you fit perfect. Yeah. That's a good way to end. Pastor David, what are we saying?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Community Chapel of Greenville. For more information and to find more teachings, please go to www.ccgreenville.org. It is our desire to see our Lord high and lifted up, and to see His people grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.